This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Shout out Union Craft Brewing, not terribly far around the corner. You'll hear Scott saying this break coming up. It's about a par five from here, and they got a big new facility that they've opened up and stirred it up when they said they're not going to allow kids after certain hours, so people that either want to get away from their kids or don't have kids can have a kid-free place to drink. And I think I make a point at the end of this, you'll hear that, you know, you get people that are mad at the brewery. Don't be mad at the brewery. Be pissed at the parents that brought in some wild child that was running around knocking stuff over, banging into beers, spilling your $9 IPA. You know, be mad at those people.
Yeah, and we got a text, I think I still have it actually, that said about that disagrees with the banning the kids from the breweries. It says, I take my daughter to the brewery when we go out, but we actually pay attention to our child and prepare toys to keep her entertained. She is not running around. Why don't they just ask those people with kids running around to leave? And I thought about that, and there's a certain window you have when you have a child in terms of age where you can kind of get away with that. It seems that, like, maybe the first year, year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they become mobile and reach a certain age, like Stella, she's five. For me, a brewery is like a relaxing time. I'm having beers. I'm talking to people.
Yeah.
That's enough entertainment for me. For a five-year-old, that is the most boring effing thing.
Wants to die.
She wants to die.
Crawling out of her skin.
She's crawling out of her skin. So, of course, she's going to want to run. She's going to want to jump. She's going to want to play. And no, you can't do that with it. Like, even when we go out to eat, even as she's 5 years old now, like, we'll go to the the clock is ticking from the minute you sit down at that table.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's enough time to get her fed and enough time to hang out maybe just a little bit. And then you got to get her out because they don't have it in them.
It's one of the reasons when I order now with my kids, when the food hits the table, I get the check.
Yes.
So I can pull the chute and get out of there if Evan loses his mind.
So this person that says they bring their daughter, I can only imagine she's got to be a younger age where you can plop her down. Maybe these toys will keep her occupied for a couple hours or something. But other than that, it's tough. I mean, unless they have a children's play area where you can chuck the kids and they'll be out of the way and safe and fine and not wreaking havoc. It's tough.
Maybe we'll check in with Union in the days, weeks, months to come to see how it has affected their business, if at all, if it's helped or hurt. We talked about it on Behind the Curtain, the concept of an adult swim time just for adults only at a brewery.
Union Craft Brewery, shout out.
What
right
up?
Down here at the bottom of the hill. Maybe a par five away from the station.
That's one of the best explanations of distance I've ever heard. I've heard as the crow flies, as my dad likes to say, an F-ton, but a par five. Yeah, we love Union, man. They're good to us. We're good to them. And they have apparently kicked up a bit of a bee's nest with a new policy.
Well, they just moved to a bigger, newer location, Union Collective. I haven't gone there to have some beers yet, but I have popped over just to check out the space. It's a big old warehouse that they're repurposing. They got a killer new tap room.
Hell yeah.
Great outdoor area. They're going to have some food areas. They've got some other businesses moving in right down the way from them.
But just to make sure, it is primarily a brewery
for
alcohol sales.
And I am looking for the original post that I read the other day.
I read it on the Baltimore Business Journal.
Yeah, they've locked me out. I guess I've gone over my limit for the month.
I know the Sun won't let you.
You guys read the Baltimore Business Journal?
No, it's just the link was being shared around.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
How we happened upon it.
It's either that.
We don't seek it out.
Or Blacktail. Yeah, so I see this, you see this. Yes, what if you found out I have a subscription to Baltimore Business Journal? Just this dip S over here was reading that in the Wall Street Journal. No, I'm far too stupid for that. And I've been to the one down the way back when I was living right around the corner over at the mill. and a smaller spot, but still a fun spot. But there was a time or two that I'd go in there.
Yeah.
And you'd go in and like, yeah, let's go ahead and grab ourselves a beer. Open up the front door. Okay, whoa, 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 whoa. What, where's, whose kid is this? Put that down, Tom. Topher? Topher! Put Topher. That down, Topher! Topher! That it's become a situation in there with the kids that they're now going to be having essentially
Adult Swim.
Exactly.
Is what they're calling
it. They're calling it Adult Swim.
And they posted a photo from a sign that hangs in another brewery, I guess, north of here in Philadelphia. I don't know what brewery that was. Do you have one? God damn it, I wish I had that original article. I do have, go ahead, do you have
I can
it?
Lend you a copy of my Baltimore Business Journal.
Just go ahead and read some of it. The Baltimore Sun article says, in controversial move, Union Craft Brewing bans children after 6 p.m.
See, I don't see this as controversial. That was
it's such a ridiculous headline. Controversial.
Exactly. I looked at that headline. I'm like, what the hell is controversial about this? Let me read this to you.
It's a brewery. So,
it says, the brewery staff found themselves having to, and I quote, constantly protect and police the property, apologize to guests, argue with parents, prevent injuries, and reunite misplaced children with their absent parents.
Yeah, at one point they go on to say that our staff are not babysitters.
No.
A woman from Canton says, an establishment can make whatever rules they want about children, but I think the policy will result in people going to places where there isn't a cutoff. Says Becky.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, a Becky says that.
It's a shame that this has to be such a blanket ban. I think that's the only way to do it.
It is.
Is just make it a blanket ban. You go, look, not this is the kids' play area over here, mm-hmm. or, you know, you can only have a kid. No. You know what? After 6 p.m., no kids. Sorry.
We've
tried it. We've opened up our space to people. People are not respecting the space. They're not watching their kids. Their kids, it's a big space.
Yes.
And you know what happens when kids are in big spaces?
They run.
I had Stella in REI the other day, and I apologize, but she was sprinting all over the effing place. And I'm like, look, this is a store, not a playground. I know the place is big, and there's a lot of fun stuff in here.
Yeah.
But a five-year-old can't comprehend that sometimes.
We took Evan to an Ashley Furniture, and he didn't realize it was just our brand-new living room, and just turned it into American Ninja Warrior.
I remember being a kid like in a furniture store, and you think it's the greatest place ever.
This is incredible as you jump from coffee table to coffee table and swing from a damn chandelier and land on someone's brand-new chaise. Oh, whoops! Now I'm buying a recliner I didn't want.
Yeah, 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. In a controversial move, Union Craft Brewery right here in Woodbury or Medfield, whatever you want to call it, has banned children after 6 p.m. Yeah, they're calling it Adult Swim. It says, we've always maintained that a brewery is a place for the community to come and try and to be warm and family friendly as much as possible. But problems cropped up with larger space and the addition of vintage games. We'd see very large number of unsupervised children breaking games, sprinting around the tap room, taking over the whole area, and creating a dangerous atmosphere.
Yeah,
that disrupted customers and made it difficult for staff members who have to confront both children and parents. The brewery tried posting signs with rules for using games, and when that had little effect, shut the tap room to children after 8 p.m., he found himself having uncomfortable conversations with parents and kids and needing to offer special training for the staff.
Well, yeah, it's a liability. I mean, they sell alcohol. They sell alcohol. It's not a place for kids. I mean,
employees would remind customers to corral their kids, but typically would not ask them to leave. It just became a nightmare.
A pain in the ass, all right? It's just not a place for kids. And you know what? A tip of the hat to Union for at least having hours for parents. And to Becky's point, like, we're going to go somewhere else. Guess what? They're going to gain business from people that only want to go in there because they know
they're getting away from kids.
Yes, they go there to drink. When I go somewhere to drink, I don't want there to be Frisbees flying through the air and me stepping on Legos. I want to go to a place where it's just going to be me at a bar. And you will now gain my business. I don't think they're going to find themselves hurting.
Another quote from Union says, we just saw this increase and become more of an issue every time we opened, and with more damage and craziness of kids running around. We just felt like something had to be done. Our staff are not babysitters. Our tap room is meant for adults of legal drinking age. The couches, tables,
photo trailer, and beer garden are not play structures.
Time to lower the drinking age.
Yes, everyone's now 10 years old slamming an IPA. I think Josh figured out the solution to it. Everyone's smashed. Mom's throwing up. The kid's on his fifth shot of Jaeger, and Dad's pants are off on the roof.
Union Craft Brewery caused a whole lot of waves in a big controversial move to ban children
from a brewery. Oh, from a place that sells alcohol for people to drink and to immediately affect their cognitive reasoning and ability to, I don't know, parent?
Just a bunch of fine young gentlemen who have been expanding an ever-growing brewery over the last 7 years, mm-hmm. moved into a giant new space. It's beautiful. It's amazing.
And the International Becky Association is fighting back.
And in the subsequent months of opening, they have realized that kids have become a gigantic problem. They're breaking stuff. They're sprinting around the tap room. They're unattended. They're wreaking havoc. Their bartenders are now babysitters. So they have implemented a thing called Adult Swim, where after 6 p.m., no kids in the brewery. And a lot of people are maybe not too happy.
We asked you to chime in about it. And here, immediately, to my point earlier, that they're going to find an all-new category of people that know, oh, my God, I could go there and I could drink with a couple of friends, some of my gal pals, some of my boys or coworkers, and I'm not going to have to worry about stepping on a Shopkin or putting my hand on the bar and there's a snot glob on it. Zach says 100% all for it. If you want to drink with your kids, either stay home or go to an Applebee's. Kevin says, I will now go out of my way to visit Union. The last thing that I want to hear about while drinking is Braylon's allergies. I'm going to steal that word, Braylon. And also Nick says, hey, I love Union. Went for the first time a couple of weeks ago. And my first thought was, holy crap, there are so many kids running around here. The letter perfectly describes the chaos. And this was at 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah, my wife and I have two kids. I couldn't agree more with the new rule. Seems as though today's younger parents are raising kids who are their equals, who can do no wrong with, just wish some breweries would put an end to letting people bring their fur babies also.
Oh,
hot take.
Whoa.
Hey,
what's going on here?
Whoa. Hey,
hot take.
Watch yourself.
We got another one about those. Mark says, I completely agree. I can't understand why people also bring their pets and dogs to the Red Brewery. I'm a dog owner, but would not think of bringing my dog to a place where people are consuming beer.
Whoa, hot take.
Oh, Mark says to those people.
Hey, here's what they can do. Suck it all, right?
Oh, yeah. Man, so we ask you, 410-338-1098. Are you saying, no, this is unfair? This is not right. Does my money not spend as well after these special hours?
Unfair has nothing to do with the conversation because guess what? They're a business.
Yeah.
And they can make any rules they want for their business.
And you as someone can then choose to spend your money elsewhere.
Or, yeah, they're right. That's a risk they're taking, right? When they made this rule, they're like, guess what? This is our business. This is the way we want our business to run. This is the way we want our business to be. So here it is. No kids after 6 p.m. In doing so, they've taken the risk of maybe people going elsewhere. But like you said, I think they're tapping into a whole nother segment of the population of people that don't have kids and don't want to be around kids when they're getting some beers in them.
And also, how are you getting to and from? Like, you're just going to be pounding a bunch of IPAs and Union Craft whatever and... Then you guys are just hopping in the car with the kids, I don't know.
What about Uber?
That's a designated. They can have a designated driver.
I would bet money a bunch of them are just strapping them in incorrectly into a child seat and boot scooting home on the way home. Maybe they do Uber. Maybe mom decides that she's just going to go ahead and sip water the entire time, or dad. But your ability to parent is going to decrease after you've had a couple of beers, especially some of those big heavy ABVs, 8%. 8.5%, you're not going to be able to function properly when, you know, Mitchell decides to start coughing on somebody's garlic fries. Stupid ass Mitchell. All right, let's go to Ryan on line 3. Ryan, what say you?
Hey, Scott, me and Scott have hung out at a local brewery over here in the Dundalk area before, and I'd have to say I'm 100% ecstatic about getting the kids out of there.
How did that...
They have pool tables there that you can't play on because the kids are throwing pool balls. They got, cornhole. They got pinball machines. There's always kids running around. I mean, you know, I got kids. That's not the place for them to be running
around. So I know what brewery you're talking about. I might as well just say it. Shout out Key Brewery. What's doing up, some Key? Great things over there. So you've been dealing with it over there as well, right? Huh? It seems like, obviously.
Yes.
Hey.
Thank you, buddy. And also to that point, in this article from the Baltimore Business Journal, which I subscribe to many years now, they say that we have to constantly replace pool cues from being broken because they're being swung around because they think they're effing Donatello from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they're on their third or fourth ping pong table because someone just decides to have a seat on the thing to, I don't know, change a baby and then, oh, I am so sorry. Bryce needed a change.
Yeah, I want to hear from someone who has a problem with this.
Yeah, let's
I
talk
don't know if that
to
exists,
Michelle. So far, it seems kind of one-sided. Michelle, good morning.
So I actually work for a brewery. I'm not going to say the name of it because I don't want to cause any controversy.
What's the name of it?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
It's in Baltimore. And the first thing that happens, and like you said, it can be like in the early afternoon. Parents will come in with their kids. The kids already have phones in their hands walking into the brewery. They'll walk in. The first thing they ask for is a Wi-Fi password. They're all pissed off because there is no Wi-Fi password. Then the parents will sit, like literally sit at the bar from the time the place opens until it closes. Kids are running back and forth from outside, inside the brewery, through the tap room, into the game room. Parents aren't paying attention. And I'm just like, what the hell? I'm young. I'm only 25. And I'm like, when the hell did this happen?
Yeah, I remember. And thank you for the call, Michelle. The first time my dad, he would take us to bowling nights. And then we would just go home. But there was a time after one of them, God, I think I was like maybe 9 or 10, that his buddies went to the bar next door, and I was in there. And it was like I stepped into that sex club from what's the movie where everyone's blindfolded and you need passwords? Damn it.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
Eyes
that
Wide
one.
Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut. It was like, what is this world? This is an adult world. This is adult songs and adult smell, and everyone's drinking beers. And what's that song on the jukebox? And you just felt as a child, you didn't have any business being there. And now you got a kid, like she just pointed out very astutely. They're on their phones, so their necks are looking down. They're walking into crap.
Well, these like breweries, though, I mean, a lot of them are, you know, more accessible spaces. They're bigger, they're open, they're brighter, they
like
have
big
outdoor spaces. Yeah, so it's like, and. And a lot of them are, you know, they have this business model where, like, beer is community. They want to bring beer brings people together.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't serve liquor. It's just the beer they sell. They're only open a certain amount of hours a week. There's very, you know, few times that, you know, like, they're not open all week. It's so they want to make it this kind of atmosphere, but then this is what happens.
Let's talk to Claire on line three. Claire, good morning.
I was calling in to kind of side with most people. I think that I have never been there, and now I'm purposely going to go there.
Shout out.
This new rule.
It's a great brewery. And would you agree with me, Claire, that I think some of the policing, if you're one of those people that are mad at Union, don't be mad at Union. Be mad at the people that caused this rule to have to be implemented because Braddock's and Loam wouldn't stop headbutting the back of people's bar stools and tipping over growlers of expensive beer. That's who to be mad at.
I agree 100%. And I think that people who go without kids are going to buy more alcohol anyway. The people who go with their kids are probably only going to buy one or two, and that's it. So they'll probably make more money anyway.
Exactly. I think it's genius. If I have to worry about getting children home, I'm not going to have my customary 13 beers.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Saturday morning, 6 to 10, behind the curtain, time to recap it. Josh, for the first time in over a year, you went upstairs, you're hearing the break coming up, and looked down at your penis. And first word popped in your head? You look down and you think to yourself, what?
It's a penis.
Well, you knew that already.
Well, it was a realization that
dark, light, smooth, curved, gnarled.
What was your first impression, positive or negative?
Positive. I mean, I was middle of the road. I mean, I wasn't, you know, jumping up and down. But
are you
sometimes
penis
you'll
proud?
Look. Sometimes you'll look at things and you'll do one of those.
Ah!
Oh!
No, it wasn't that. I guess, you know, I kind of remembered it from a year earlier.
So weird.
That's so wild. I like how you referred to it. You'll hear in the break coming up. It was like meeting an old friend again.
Yes.
Now, when you engage in your court and doctor ordered me time to evacuate the insides.
Yes.
Do you think now maybe you will look during that? Will you look during bathroom or shower? When do you think the next time you'll see it will be?
Great question.
You know, I think the most logical next step would be to do it during the court, not court order. The
Doctor ordered
a pleasure session.
Gotcha.
Because then it'll be like in it. I mean, that's like a parade for it.
Okay. You know? Now, so, would you mind here on Behind the Curtain? We didn't get a lot of time yesterday using your hand.
Yeah.
Whoa, watch out now. Josh almost choked on a highlighter cap. If you could just do this with your hand, like you're sort of making the symbol for the number zero.
Well, see, I couldn't tell because it wasn't at full attention.
You wouldn't be referring to yourself as Girth Brooks?
No, I mean, when I'm at full attention, mm-hmm. I know that it's
pretty massive.
Nothing to sneeze at.
Hell
I
yeah.
mean, it's not.
You're a grower, not a shower.
I'm not a porn star,
but
it's. I think it's average.
If someone sees you walk in with that dish, people would be like, let's eat.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
man.
Yeah, and I'd be the first one.
Whoa, God. It's going to throw his back out. Coming up, Josh, for the first time in over a year, looked down at his privates. I'm Behind the Curtain.
Are you ready? Yeah, we talked about this yesterday at this time.
Oh, yeah.
Something most men do on a regular basis, Josh Spiegel has not done in about a year. He has not looked at his penis.
We're going to go now to associate / executive producer Sam Nash joining us on the warm line. Sam, where are you?
I am currently on the fourth floor bathroom. I'm standing outside of the men's bathroom. Right. Guarding the door.
So you're standing guard outside of the door. If anyone tries to get into that bathroom, you tackle them.
Yeah, you
take them out
into the dirt.
I got it. I'm ready.
All right. Thank you, Sam. Now I am going to go ahead and head over to the news genius, Josh Spiegel. Josh Spiegel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can hear the echo. He is in the fourth floor bathroom, which the fourth floor is basically conference rooms, not a lot of foot traffic up there. He should be safe and sound. We have Sam guarding the door.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the handicap stall, correct? The larger stall with a little more room in it.
Yes, it's very spacious, and the toilet is fairly clean, except the gigantic hair on the seat.
Oh, God, that's a butt hair.
Now, where are you at mentally?
I'm a little nervous, but look, I'm. This is going to be like meeting an old friend.
Yeah.
A friend you haven't seen in over a year.
Oh, hey, old friend. Oh, look at you. You've grown up so quickly.
Right.
Well, Josh, can I ask what type of boxers you have on today?
Well, these are boxer briefs. The standard, I believe they're Hanes.
Okay.
And they're black. Nice and black.
Okay. Now, where are you at in terms of your button and your zipper? Is everything still in place?
I did unbutton the button because I was afraid that I would struggle if I waited. You know, I didn't want a whole struggle on the air. But I've unzipped and I am unbuttoned, and my pants are by my knees right
Whoa,
now.
Whoa, okay. Drop them all the way down to the ankles. Relax. Let them fall to the ankles.
Okay. All right.
Let them fall to the ankles.
Okay. All right, there they are, ankles.
Pants around ankles.
All right.
Black boxers exposed.
And you've been on your slim life journey for quite some time now. Everyone's saying you're looking great. Midsection is shrinking, jawline pronounced. As you look straight down at yourself, you're seeing less of you, correct? Which should make the penis inspection much easier.
Yeah, I've lost weight. It's very exciting. I actually got weighed yesterday. I've lost, I think it's 37 pounds
My
now.
My God, you look good, dude. All right. Scott, let's do it. Josh, please remove your boxer briefs.
All right. I'm slowly sliding them down my pants.
And where are you
my legs.
And where are you looking as you're doing this? Straight ahead?
No, I'm looking down.
Oh, you are?
Okay.
Do you see it yet?
Yeah, I see it.
There it is.
It's there.
Okay.
And it's still there. It's not bad. I can't take my eyes off of it.
Oh, yes.
See?
There you go, buddy. Got a handsome one.
Look, it's... There definitely needs to be a grooming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but it's like you're looking at an overgrown house and you're like, look, I can see the potential here.
I can flip that.
It just needs some work.
Penis flippers with Josh Spiegel.
There's still a little bit of overweight crotch. That's, it's not so much the actual pee-pee. It's the overweight crotch that gets to me.
Where it meets your stomach in midsection.
Yeah.
You know what? That'll continue to shrink as you continue to shrink. As you look at it, anything out of sorts? Anything you don't recall?
It's been a year, so I mean, is anything alarming?
Well, right now I'm lifting up the top part to look at the bottom carriage. I guess the purse.
Okay,
and
the
I'm trying to bend over because it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. It looks about the same. Let me see if I could get even farther down.
Oh, my God. He's like going spelunking. He's getting up in there.
You know what?
What?
If you go all the way down there, it's like the under... It's a little... It's kind of adorable.
Oh! Oh, yes. It is. Do you think after looking at it right now, you will begin to more often now?
Yeah, I think this is actually... a good thing. I really got to a groom, and then I think the desensitization process will go on, and if I can lose some more weight, reduce the overweight crotch. Right now, it looks like we're at a I'm relaxed now in terms of I'm not.
You don't sound very agitated. You sound okay.
I meant in terms of, I'm not in a...
You're not aroused.
Yeah, you're at 6 o'clock instead of 12.
So, right now, I think I'm at a category 2. But, I'm curious. I can't... I'll have to wait till later to see what a category 4 looks like.
Hey-oh! I've got some blue chew with me. You be sure to snack on some of them, Josh. My ED medicine is your ED medicine.
Okay. Well, this was a very good idea.
Josh, why don't you go ahead and get your boxer briefs back on and pull the pants up. Why don't you come back in here and join us?
What are the chances I can take a look at it?
Maybe sometime down the road.
That's not a no. We're going to see his wiener.
I would love that. I would love nothing more.
That could be Uncensored 5. Uncensored 5 could be 2 minutes long. It's just him showing us his stuff, and then we charge people $30 for it.
I would love that.
I should probably wash my hands. And
do that. Go ahead and do that. Why don't you smell them before you wash them?
Okay. All right. That's actually a good idea. I mean...
And?
Yeah, it's fresh. It's powdery.
Okay.
There you go. Good job. You're a man of cleanliness.
I'm glad you got reacquainted with your old friends. This is quite a moment.
Because I put a lot of powder down there, so part of the non-groomed area actually looks like a ghost.
Oh, jeez. Josh's phantom penis.
Ghost of penis path.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Well, well, well. Dennis Pitta. An old friend of the show.
I don't categorize him as that.
No, me neither. I'm trying to force the friendship just by saying it over and over again.
Now, Jared is a friend. Jared Johnson, 95.
100%.
There's a relationship there.
Like, I can text I can text Jared, and with 90% certainty, he'll get back to me not only that day, but that hour.
His name's Jared, not Jared.
I call him Jared.
Bro, some friend you are.
Jared Johnston. I-94.
But I guess we're going to play the clip where I think the biggest culprit in the clip here, and what happened on Monday, I guess it was Monday night, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
It was Kirk and Wendy broadcasting live. Dennis Pitta was there live with them. And then Wendy brought up the fact that how we kind of look similar, but just proceeded to railroad me. And I don't think it was malicious, and I don't think it was purposeful, but I think it was more so she was trying to, like, in a roundabout way, hit on Dennis Pitta.
Mm-hmm. She was
that's
trying to
what
get
that
sweet
was.
On Dennis? Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That's,
she
of course, what it was.
Dennis.
She was trying to make an impression on Dennis. She was trying to hit on him. She's like, look, you know, Scott says that you really look like him, but back when he was tanner and more fit. And I was like, okay, that's just a shot. But then she, like, said three or four times, like, but you're younger and hotter than him. Like, you kind of look like him, but you're way younger and way hotter. It's like, okay, we get it.
Wendy Pitta.
You just sound desperate.
Just say that. Wendy Pitta. Dennis Pitta leaves his beloved.
And I don't have a problem with Kirk either. Kirk was just doing, you know, taking, sniping in the background, taking mm-hmm. the usual shots about, you know, I got more beak and
smell what the Rock is cooking.
Smell what the Rock is cooking. And I look like Dennis after a bender. That was pretty funny. And then when Kirk talked about it on in the afternoon show, yeah, he had a funny line. He said, anybody think Scott looks like Dennis Pitta got pumped in the head or something like that? And, but I don't know your thoughts of whatever.
I think it was all in good fun, and I think you, right now that you said it, I don't think it was any kind of maliciousness on Wendy. She, and I didn't even realize it when we were doing the break earlier in the week. Maybe it was her hitting on him. I never thought that. I thought it might have been like some good natured ball busting or whatever. But I think she might have been trying to get sweet on 88.
Yeah, that's what it was. And Mike, you weren't here when I shared this, that I called my parents. Subsequent days after
this
that
is very sweet.
And I was just talking to them about whatever, and they and out of nowhere they go, you know, I hear my dad in the background, you know, it still really upsets us when we hear people making fun of your nose like that. It gets me very upset. I get very upset. Your mother and I don't like that. Yeah, Scotty, you know, it's still, you know, we're your parents, and when we hear that, it makes us upset. My father gets a very emotional, visceral reaction when he hears someone make fun of my big nose. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think we all have that one feature that no matter how lighthearted it is, anytime somebody takes a jab at it, it just cuts you.
It just sucks because it's like you have any, you know what I mean? I have something mm-hmm. that is so prominent and it's on my face and it's such an easy go-to.
It's schlocky at this
just
point.
Just to not have that would have been, you know, but whatever.
My belly button's becoming that. I'm legitimately becoming
that.
Like, I'm... Yeah, but as I'm trying to, like, get in better shape, and I want to, like, kind of, you know, every now and then walk around, no shirt on, whatever. I mean, like, we did the bamboo car wash, and, like, five people being like, what the hell's wrong with your navel? Like, oh, man.
I'll never forget the first time I saw it. I will say that.
Was it that off-putting? Jesus, man. I mean, it's part Coke navel, part hernia.
No, you get used to it.
Oh, good. Oh, okay, like onions or a girlfriend with a lazy eye.
But like Scott said, at least you can hide that kind of thing.
Yeah, mine's just like...
It's already out there.
You know, I don't know.
Josh,
I
what's mean, the one feature on you that you're like, man, this is my thing. This is my cross to bear.
I think that my stomach and my chest, I don't really like those.
And you're doing something about it.
Well, I'm trying.
I'm telling you, next week, I think we should open up the big nose lines.
Open them up?
Yes.
The Roman
people
nose
who
line.
Have big noses, what? How do you deal with it? What has it been like living with it?
How do you deal with it? Did anybody ever make the offer that Scott's parents did to him to correct it, if you could even call it that, with plastic surgery? So, coming up, we're going to talk about the pit of dis on Behind the Curtain.
But to set the table for the Ravens game, let's head out to the Maryland Live Casino where Kirk and Wendy, I think, were out there last night, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dennis Pitta. Mm-hmm. And from what I hear, had a real riveting, interesting conversation.
Do you remember when it was like five years ago, Scott Reardon, everybody right. told me he looked like you, but when he was like more fit and tan?
He looks like you after a bender.
Scott Reardon?
Sorry, yeah, from the morning show.
He does the morning show. Justin Scott and Spielberg.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and everybody said you guys look similar.
I remember that. And I'm not even sure I know what he looks like.
You're definitely like the younger, hotter version. No offense to Scott. However,
well, I'll be over here killing myself.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of like tall, dark hair.
Kind of insulting,
smile.
But okay.
No,
I get it.
I said you're the younger, hotter version.
He's got way more beak than you've got.
Dude, Scott is going to kill me.
He can smell what the Rock is cooking.
That's
Scott Reardon.
Hey. All right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Wendy. I see a little bit there. Right. Yeah.
F you, Wendy. Look in an effing mirror. Kirk. I'm going to go. I'm going to jump off a goddamn building today because I've just been nothing but a bully.
Cyberbullying.
Scott got cyberbullied. Car wash, I got bullied. I get bullied for being a little bit chunky nowadays. I got a big nose.
Now you got Pitta going in
I
on
think
him?
It's. I think it's Pitta who should say.
Pitta's banned from the show.
I'm impressed. I like the comparison.
Because he looks like him. And Scott's never said he looks
Kirk
exactly.
Kirk's got a little bit more beak than you. Whatever, Kirk. Go sing in your stupid Tom Petty cover band.
Loser. Yay! Mike, set it up. Shogun, preliminary amateur fight.
No, I'll put my money on Scott Rear. No disrespect, man. He's got some good training from some nut job coaches in Long Island, man. I know those guys.
I'm a pussy, like Keith. I can't fight. I got nothing going for me, okay? Let's everybody pile
on. You're a lover, not a fighter.
Well, he's got Lowell going in about his nose from a pretty nice photo of him in Hogan. And then now he's got Afternoon Drive getting in his ass. And don't even get me started on what he's going with the mug.
Wait, he's got Lowell is actually...
It's pile on Scott week, apparently.
Come on, man.
And I ain't settling for it.
Whatever. So, this is what I look like. This is who I am.
I am going to my grave defending Scott Rear.
What are you
going to
do? All right, look. This is what I look like. This is who I am.
You're a good looking guy, man.
No, I'm not, Keith. Thank you, but I'm not.
Hey, all you have to do.
I got to lose some weight, okay?
Pull a picture of your bride out and say, you know what? You're all jealous and envious. So, hey, here's what they can do. Suck it all, right?
Yeah.
You suck it and take it. You suck it and take it. You suck it and take it.
I'm telling you, man, I'm with you, Scott Reardon. I got your back on this one, baby.
They should do what, Keith, one more time?
They can all suck it.
All right, now I got a clean one, Mike, if you could get that in there.
You're kind of going at Kirk and Wendy, but I feel like Pitta was the one that took
play
the
biggest
shot.
Well,
Dennis is going along for the ride. I don't know what Dennis is saying.
Please play that one more time.
When 5 years, it was like 5 years ago, Scott Reardon, everybody told me he looked like you, but when he was like more fit and tan.
He looks like you after a bender.
Scott Reardon?
Yeah, from the
morning
show.
He does the morning show, Justin Scott and Spiegel.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody said you guys look similar.
I remember that. And I'm not even sure I know what he looks like.
You're definitely like the younger, hotter version. No offense to Scott. However, that's a bad picture, but...
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of like tall, dark hair.
Kind of insulting, but okay. I get it.
I said you're the younger, hotter version.
He's got way more beak than you've got.
Dude, Scott is going to kill me.
He can smell what the rock is
cooking.
Come on. That's Scott Reardon.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I see it a little bit there. Right. Yeah.
Man, come on. Everybody trying to be wise, man. Just trying to be wise.
Uh-huh.
Trying to be flip. Trying to be cool. Trying to be hip.
Pitta is banned. That's it. He is off the show. We'll probably talk to him next Monday, 7:20, just to see how the Thursday game
goes. I can't wait to talk to him now after this.
We'll talk to him Thursday, and we'll have him on live at the... at the tent next Sunday, we'll straighten it out.
It's about time. We were mad at a Raven instead of
Scott
Reardon.
You need to come to the pregame show at M&T Bank next Sunday. Come on up, sit right next to him. You guys will
screw Pitta.
Kill him.
Yeah,
whatever.
Hell yeah. Oh, will they let someone that looks like Scott in, or is it only for the beautiful people?
Oh,
I mean,
baby.
I didn't make it up.
No,
it's not
exactly.
Listen, it's not like I said I look like Dennis Pitta. I've never walked around and said I look like Dennis Pitta. But when I've had multiple people come up to me in parking lots and go, hey, are you Dennis Pitta? And I go, no, I'm not. But thank you for the effing compliment.
Absolutely.
It's happened multiple times.
Yeah, as it should. You're a good looking guy, man. Oh. And again, all you have to do is pull out a cell phone picture of your bride, and they will say, and they'll bow down to you on the sidewalk and say, can I kiss your shoes, my man?
All right, but then what happens if she leaves me tomorrow, Keith? Then what happens? Then what do I have? Nothing.
But she's not.
Well, you don't know that.
You don't know that. You got a beautiful little girl.
Okay, that's the one thing I have.
You're killing it, man.
The wife is one thing. The daughter.
I learned a long time ago, man. Those who criticize are envious and jealous. Don't worry about
it. Peanut butter and jelly.
I'm telling you, man.
Listen.
Those who criticize
Keith,
want what you have.
I have
big
breasts. I've never run from this. I have a big nose.
So what?
Newsflash. I've had a big nose my entire effing life.
Roman.
My mother came to me as a child and said, look, if you want to get a nose job, we'll pay for it. This is the truth. And she goes, and we'll take care of it because my mother had a nose job.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I get it. It's all from you, Rita. Son of a bitch! And she offered. I should have just got the effing nose job when I was like 16. I wouldn't be dealing with any of this crap.
Is it? Shot fired! Oh, he's taking it out of the trash can.
Wouldn't be dealing with any of this.
Oh God!
Never would have had it.
Should have just did it.
I said, you know what? I'm not selling out. I'm gonna live with it, Keith. This is who I am. This is the way I was
Scotty,
born. This is my heritage. This is my grandfather.
Yeah!
I'm gonna live with it.
Yeah!
And now I get goddamn ridiculed on the daily for it. I have a big nose. I've had it since I was 16. Okay, maybe I have breasts and love handles, and I should probably lay off the carbs and sugar. That's my own fault.
He's got a huge donger.
Hey, got that.
God.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that, man. Trust me, you could give me a lazy eye and replace my left hand with a lobster claw if I could have that schwanz is underneath
broke
there.
The garbage can.
The garbage can's so broken. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, actually, you really were kicking that?
Oh, hell yeah. Look at the trash can. Look at it.
You know.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Kick the monitor now.
And you knew that fault here is Ozzie Newsome for drafting Dennis Pitta. If the Patriots or someone else would, it wouldn't have been a problem.
What were you thinking, Ozzie?
Come on, Oz. Hey, I'm I got your back, man.
Yeah, don't worry about me, Keith. Don't worry about me. You won't be seeing much more of me.
You know, cancel Livewire because he's just too hideous to be on camera.
No, gotta get, come on. Now more than ever, you
heard
need
him.
It.
We got to
so
pull
they can
all
see
the
true Scott Reardon, the sensual, kind Scott Reardon.
Whoa, take it away, Keith.
Well, at least you have a healthy hip, Scott. Never
with a good right foot, man. Hey, if Justin Tucker ever goes down, we got a kicker right now, baby, because that trash can looks like a crease in my forehead right now.
Steve
that's what that
says,
crash can looks
hey.
Like.
I have a strong record of heterosexuality, but man to man, Scott, I would let you hit this. You're giving yourself way too little credit. Look at that beautiful wife. You're a piece of ass.
See, that's how, like, my value is through my beautiful wife.
Of course
wife.
It is. Uh-huh. That's being a guy.
That's not me, though. Another human being who I just happened to marry.
It's because he's laying lumber, kid.
But
laying big pipe.
But don't ever, ever think that's not part of it.
He's got a pork ICBM.
Yeah,
he's got that trouser
it's
viper.
Over, Keith. All right. The best years are behind me.
Best years are behind me. How old are you?
I'm just going to get fatter.
Oh, no.
Come on,
what,
man.
It's a fact.
Don't let him win, man. You can't let him win.
I'm done.
When you sound like that, they
I'm
win.
Done. Yeah.
If
I'm
you
done.
Say, you know what? Hey, all of you, here's what you do. Right
Sorry,
here, Scotty.
Look,
Scotty, look
not
right
everybody
here.
Can be
Kirk McEwen,
okay?
Look at me. Go, here's what you do.
Oh.
Turn around and walk away and said, you wish you were me, baby, just to be compared remotely to Dennis Pitta.
Not everybody can be the Adonis radio god that is Kirk McEwen.
He's an easy-to-look-at guy. Kirk is a handsome fella.
I mean, I feel like Pitta was the one dripping with tone in this thing. I mean, Kirk and Wendy were just trying to...
What are you talking about? He said one thing. He goes, well, that's a bit of a
He was caught in the middle, man.
He was caught in the middle.
Wendy
and Kirk were driving his train down the track.
Kirk was the one that was... he was the one.
Well, this should make a fun
there,
quarterly meeting upstairs. Scott's just staring lasers through his coworkers.
Hey,
that's fine. I don't know who
don't
Wendy
shoot the
ain't
messenger.
Got a hair on her ass.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I loved Wendy, too. You know, I loved you, Wendy. I loved you.
I loved you. And then
hey, Wendy,
you turned your back
done.
On me.
You're done.
It was you, Wendy. It was you all along.
Louie and Johnny and Bobby coming down to see you, Wendy.
Get the cannolis.
you know... There
Anyways,
was some sports
let's move
going on,
please.
On last
yeah,
night,
can we
so
move
we'll talk
on?
About
Jeez,
it.
We got down this. Look at this, 47 after. 47.
Yeah. It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
You're in therapy. You're going to hear a woman coming up by the name of Julia Silliman, I believe, is her name. And urine's her game. And she's splashing on her face. She's drinking it. She's saving it to drink later. If you want to get behind the curtain as to how we have to do some breaks sometimes here on Behind the Curtain, we have to be very careful how we say stuff on air and refer to stuff on air so we just don't wander into the realm of the grotesque. And we have to kind of take a break like this and do it with a deft hand. And we were actually praised. I couldn't believe it. We were praised by the boss afterwards for the deft handling of it, because let's just say sometimes compliments are in short supply from that side of the building. And one thing he did say, and we'll reiterate it now in hindsight, don't try this yourself. Just don't do it.
Well, we're not doctors, so, consult your physician and take his advice. Don't, you know. Now, let me ask you this. During this interview, did the thought cross your mind that maybe you would give this a shot?
You know what I thought? The only one of these that I would ever try is if I've been heavy-duty drinking.
And you know those, you know, I've been drinking since noon peas that are just borderline clear.
Yeah, that's what my buddy would do in college. He would get like the clear, you know, beer pee.
Yeah.
And as just like a gross out factor, put like this much
that
in
much
a cup
in it.
And drink it.
But
I mean,
point,
no, as
water,
for a health,
right?
For health reasons that I'll tell you, for a split second across my mind, I was like, maybe there's something to this.
Oh man, I'll buy some oil of Olay to fix my skin or a Stridex pad for the zits. Maybe, but.
But you like, you'll hear coming up in the interview, you say to the woman, you're like, well, you know, urine is being excreted from your body because it's this bad byproduct that your body is getting rid of.
Yeah, your
why
body doesn't
then
want it.
Why then put it back in?
Oh, you ever want to get into something really creepy? Mike, why don't you talk to a doctor? Maybe we'll talk to him about an excrement transplant. You heard of that?
I've heard. I think you brought it up before.
Oh my God, where they will actually take another person's bad waste,
poo poo,
place it inside of something for the enzymes and the cultures contained therein to help fight off infection. They'll do a poo transfer, man. It's gross.
Oh.
Well, we talked to a woman by the name of Julia who believes in urine therapy on Behind the Curtain. Yes.
Yes, Phil did this story yesterday. Julia Silliman, she was showcased in a New York Post article. It is called Urine Therapy, and she uses her own urine as various forms of therapy. She has been known to, I believe, drink it. She uses it on her skin. She uses it in other various forms. And joining us on the phone, we have Julia. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
How are you this morning, my dear?
I am fantastic.
Have
you
already
had
your cup of urine today?
Yeah. What has your regimen been so far this morning? Anything?
Yes, I did drink a cup or two of fresh urine and aged urine because I only got 3 hours of sleep last night, and it woke me up immediately, and now I feel great.
Aged? Like in a whiskey barrel?
So you woke up this morning, you've had a cup or two of fresh and then an aged.
Yep.
Come on. Yep. And you're laughing, but this is not a joke. This is real.
This is real.
When you say aged, how old?
It's probably like 3 or 4 weeks old.
It's got to have a bit of an ammonia hue to it, correct?
Oh yeah, it's that one. I would use the word kind of gross.
Can I ask when was the first time you did someone sell you on the idea and why? Yeah.
So it was when I was breaking out really bad, and I was in the health food store trying to find things to like naturally balance my hormones and all that because I knew my body was really out of whack. Mm-hmm. And this man approached me, and
you ever drink
I remember
pee?
His eyes. Yeah, he kind of like his eyes were really clear. He looked like he was glowing, kind of, and he was just like, "Hey, I don't know you, but like." When I was younger, I had really bad acne. Can I suggest something to you? And I was like, yes. And he said, urine therapy. And I was like, urine therapy?
And then he said,
like,
what?
Your pee on your face? And he was like, yeah, like massaging it into your skin and doing that for a couple minutes and then just letting it seep in there. And it like more intrigued me than grossed me out because I felt like, I don't know. It just resonated with me for
At
some reason.
At that point, you might have been like, heck, I'll try anything.
Yeah, if you're desperate.
We're talking to Julia Silliman. She engages in urine therapy. But how do you get from putting some of it onto your face and rubbing it into your acne to then now drinking it?
Right, I know. So I did it for about a week, and I also rubbed it into the back of my hand, and I saw how it immediately moisturized it, and it made it look like healthy moisturized hand. Yeah. And so as I was seeing the effect of it topically, my friend, the man Christo, was telling me that when you do it internally, it also heals your intestines and your stomach and everything
what?
Cleans you out.
Because I think of it as being obviously a waste product that your body ejects and repels to say, hey, we no longer have a use for this, so it's gone. But then you're swimming against the tide, no pun intended, and splashing it and you know putting in your mugs and what have you. Is there you know I don't want to get any kind of graphic here, but is there a smell afterwards if you apply it topically? Does it smell of anything, or do you wash it off afterwards when you go out into public?
Right. So the smell really depends on your diet. And since I've been eating a raw food diet and very clean, it doesn't have any smell at all. Okay. It smells like water. Even if it does have a smell, when it seeps into your skin, it absorbs it. So a lot of the smell just goes away. You can't smell anything.
You can head to 98online.com. We have a video of Julia up there. Julia Silliman talking about urine therapy. You drank two glasses of fresh urine this morning and one glass of aged urine this morning as part of your regimen. And have you talked to medical professionals about this? What do they say? I mean, I can't see this being healthy.
No, personally, I have not gone to like a medical professional of any sort. There is a lot of talk about why they don't tell people about this and they don't want them to know, and they'll tell you that it's a waste product. There's resources on that. I don't personally want to get into that.
Is there stigma? Obviously, when you engage in this, people, the first thing they're thinking is, "Oh God!" And they're clutching their stomachs, trying to imagine it. But you're out there trying to sing its praises.
Yeah, I mean, in my personal life, I only tell friends that I know are open-minded. I definitely don't go around like announcing it. But now that it's out to the world, I would rather people.
But you're not like flaunting it. You're not like bringing a sports bottle full of it to a local TGI Fridays.
Yeah, but being still, like, even if you know, like, psst, that's the girl, Julia.
That's the girl over there. He's making a pea margarita.
He's like, hey, guys, I'm pea face.
Oh, wow. Well, it's out there now. You're in the New York Post. We're talking to you. I don't know how. And I'm looking that you're all over the internet. So, hey, look, maybe it'll
it's working
help
for
some
you.
People, right?
Yeah. And I'm looking at photos and videos, and you're in great shape, and you're not kidding. Your skin looks great. Your hair looks great. So if what I'm seeing, the proof is in the pudding, you know, maybe there's something to it. Mike and I, my producer, we were fans of a mixed martial artist by the name of Lyoto Machida, the Dragon, who famously in his training regimens would do this in preparation for a fight. He would recycle his own waste product, and he said it was returning his energy and back to himself. And
it says there's a book on Amazon called Urine Therapy, Nature's Elixir for Good Health, your personal treatment for acne, hair loss, infection, warts, asthma, indigestion, migraines, wrinkles, and other many common ailments.
Yep. Wow. Yep. It's incredible.
Well, Julia,
I have not felt this amazing in probably my entire life.
How long have you been doing it?
2 months.
Oh, so only 2 months. You're new.
All right. Well, can we check back in like a year? See if you're still deep
see if
into
you're
the
still
game.
Alive.
At this point, this is just, see if you're not dead yet, or you could be the pinnacle of health for all we know.
Yes, of course.
All right, Julia. Well, thank you so much for the time, and go. Hey, go refresh
Wait,
your drink.
So what to this morning with an aged cup? What's the rest of the day look like?
The rest of the day, well, I got to do my my face wash, right? Got to rub into my skin there.
Okay.
And maybe in my hair a little bit, and that's it.
And that's it for the day.
That's it for the day.
Okay.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
The Toy Hall of Fame. Yeah. Yesterday, Scott found a list of some of the new inductees, or a list of nominees, three of which will be inducted. And what was the number one toy of a 10, 11-year-old Josh Spiegel? And I'll also ask of a Mike Anderson, what was the childhood toy for you?
Mike, would you like to go first?
I loved, I don't know if you guys talked about this, I was out on Thursday, or Friday rather, the basic green toy soldiers about an inch high. I'd go in my sandbox with a big bag of those and spend hours setting up World War II battle scenes in the sand.
I did the same just with G.I. Joes. I didn't quite have as many because that was the thing with the toy soldiers, you got that big bag. And you got like 500 of the things if you saved up enough. And you had the some poor son of a bitch had to be the beige soldier, the poor beige, the hazelnut, the Nutella soldier. And my favorite was the lay down sniper. You had the infantry guy that was like this. I remember one had like a riding crop. I guess he was dark colonel. And you had the one guy that could like lay low. And you would hide him in the grass.
And the tripod would always get bent or broken eventually.
Or you left it outside and it would melt.
But I just remember sitting in that sandbox just making machine gun noises as I, like, placed them in rows.
We've got incoming! Your friend would throw a rock and like sand would fly up in the air. Well, what were some of yours? You continue to join the conversation online at JSS98Rock. We talked about the Toy Hall of Fame.
Justin Scott and Spiegel, 98rock98line.com.
Florida.
ToyHallOfFame.org.
Hell yeah.
National Toy Hall of Fame.
This is up my alley.
I didn't even know this thing existed. Maybe I did, but I don't remember it. And, yeah, I guess they came out with their finalists that are this year's National Toy Hall of Fame finalists.
And the nominees are?
There's 12 of them, and three of the toys will be inducted later this fall. So there's 12 finalists. Only three will make it. And the nominees are? Two of them are also nominated last year but didn't make it. Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
I'm prepared.
Oh, some of these are good, man. How do you choose? How do you choose just three?
Yeah.
We got American Girl dolls.
Welcome.
We cannot underestimate the impact of the American Girl doll on the toy landscape.
The only successful
insane
yard sale I ever had was when Mudge on the Facebook post for it put down, we have books, electronics, games, furniture, and American Girl. And the entire neighborhood came by wanting to find the American Girl.
Yeah, and that stuff cost you X, and it sold for Y.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
pennies on the dollar.
Oh, my God. All right, so American Girl doll. Then they have chalk.
Okay, that chalk? A bag of stones.
Chutes and ladders.
Yes, chutes and
classic
ladders.
Classic. American Girl doll, chalk, chutes and ladders, Magic 8-Ball.
Magic 8-Ball. Oh, a kid's first foray into the occult.
Masters of the Universe action figures.
E-Man.
Pinball. How is pinball not already in?
Yeah, that's strange.
These the next
sled.
Two.
Sled.
Tic-tac-toe.
Tic-tac-toe.
Tickle Me Elmo.
Shout out.
Electric football.
Yes, electric football with the with the red lines.
Wait, which one's electric football?
I'm thinking of the ones that had
the handheld thing?
The red lines that were doing this up the screen. You really couldn't tell what the hell was happening, but you swore it was a running back. That's what I thought they were talking about. Love that thing.
Uno.
Uno.
Strong game.
Great game.
Big game of my childhood.
Pick four. Wild card. Reverse.
And then the Fisher-Price corn popper. Which is the little thing that kids push, and it looks like it, and goes, and the balls pop in the bottom of it. Strong list.
That is a very strong list. What is, I'm trying to look this up.
Hey, don't hurt yourself.
The red and yellow toddler car.
Oh, classic.
Yes, with the wonky, the little Tyke's Cozy Coupe.
100%.
If you've ever seen a white trash house with overgrown lawns,
Cozy Coupe.
That thing is in the front
yard.
Yes,
it is.
That wonky, non-functional piece of trash with that smooth, slippery plastic. Where does the trampoline land?
Trampoline is strong.
Trampoline. Yeah, the one that you said, I was so surprised. Pinball, not already in there.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Yeah, I figure it would have been part of their. It would have been part of the.
I mean, is it a toy, though?
Well,
I
don't
know. Let's not.
Is chalk a toy?
I guess.
I mean, chalk is just something I ate when I was a kid.
So I ask the room, your personal nominee for the Hall of Fame. I guess yours would obviously be Transformers.
Yes, obviously.
Do you have a toy that stands out from your childhood, Speaks, that was your Hall of Fame toy?
Well, in terms of games, the only game I really played as a child was Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah, that's on the list.
Yeah.
That's nominated this year, Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah, that's the only one from the list that stood out.
You didn't have a toy, though? I mean, I remember you had that big stretchy guy that you ripped in half.
Oh, yeah, Incredible Hulk. I had that. And I played with little cars, like police cars.
Matchbox cars are strong.
Like, ew, ew.
Now, is it Matchbox cars or Hot Wheels? What's, is there a difference?
I don't know.
Don't know. I know. Maybe
just
I think Hot Wheels had the track.
I had like a set
a little toy set from Chips, the TV show, the police
show.
Oh, really?
So it had a little motorcycle in it. And a little police car. And then I also had, I was very into, look, I almost became a police officer.
Yeah, I could tell. Well, you would have been a great police officer.
No, he wouldn't.
But,
why I pulled you over? Tire.
I had a little Tonka dump truck. It was yellow. But the other one, I had a little, set, and I don't know what it was, what the brand was, but it was like a black police car, and then there was a black police helicopter.
Oh,
so with
cool.
one hand, I drove the car, and the other, I flew the helicopter.
We got a perp in hot pursuit.
And there was also a fire truck, okay? So I was working all angles.
We got Tweeterbug on the loose. Tweeterbug. We got a high-speed chase with Tweeterbug. You're never gonna get me, copper!
Okay, I'm looking at it. Yeah, electric football was the big flat thing where you just put the players on it and you turned it on and it vibrated.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the handheld one. Would you like to know the original inductees into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, we're talking about the toyhalloffame.org.
Yeah. This was in, I guess, 1998 it began. And I won't read the whole list. There's 17 of them, but I'll read some of the big ones. Number one, Barbie.
Strong.
Crayola crayon, number two.
Strong.
Erector set, number three.
Yes.
Etch-a-sketch, four.
Okay.
And rounding out the top five is the Frisbee. The Frisbee. Other notables on there, Lego, Play-Doh, Monopoly.
Yes,
and
yes.
the Dunkin' Yo-Yo.
Yeah, all classics.
In subsequent years, the Slinky make it into there. You know what was class of 2000, leading the class of 2000? Bicycle. That's it. Just a bike. But yeah, in the years following the original.
I thought about the bike because.
The bike.
When I was making my coffee leading into this break, I had thought, like, what was the most significant toys in my childhood? Bike is like your.
Mm-hmm.
It's your independence. It's your. You're wrenching on it. You're doing wheelies with it.
Oh, yeah. It's your first mode of transportation as a kid to get you to your friend's house quicker than cutting through the woods. 2010, the game of life. 2011.
Game of Life was mine.
Oh,
I love the Game of Life. I have like the most memories ever playing the Game of Life. I don't know why. And then also, for whatever reason, I have great memories of Crossbows and Catapults.
Yes, Crossbows and Catapults was the jam.
And, like, me and my brother in the hallway playing that are like some of the best memories ever.
2011 had one for the effing ages. The Blanket Fort.
Just making a
blanket fort.
Okay.
A blanket fort. God bless this. This is amazing. So it's the Hall of Fame for toys. Their inductions are going to be selected from the following people. What do we got right here? We've got American Girls, Chalk, Magic 8-Ball, Tickle Me Elmo, Uno. Do you know whose last year winners were?
No.
Great ones.
Lay them on.
The class of 2007 included the game of...
2007? That's
17,
not last.
Excuse me. 17. Clue.
Strong. Everybody knows Colonel Mustard with the candlestick in the library.
The next two, even stronger. The Wiffle Ball.
I got that on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Wiffle Ball. I forgot. Wiffle Ball was a huge part of my life.
And... the number one inductee last year, 2017, goes to the paper airplane.
Strong.
There's a great one in 2005. This is a creative selection. In 2005, that also included Candyland and Jack in the Box. I believe the number one pick, every kid wanted it, didn't care what you made, your parents' economic status. Everyone could enjoy a cardboard box.
I just made an airplane for Stella out of a cardboard box last week.
Fantastic.
And she sat in it for about 2 minutes.
Yep, that's when in my house I'll do the same, and then the cat will lie in it, and then throw up, and I'll have to throw it away. You got some texts over there?
Yeah, let's go to the phones first, because I don't want to blow out the phones, because, I got a lot of good texts.
Oh, good one here. Hold on. Let's go to Tim. Line 5, what's going on, buddy? What belongs in that Toy Hall of Fame?
Hey, guys. Not sure. You might be a little bit too young for this, but it was the all-time Mattel toy seller in the mid-70s, the Evel Knievel stunt cycle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You had the thing that you pulled, and it kind of shot out, and the commercial even had him, like, jumping over a dirt ravine?
Yeah, well, it wasn't one of those whip strips. It was set down in this dock, and you cranked this thing with your hand.
Well, hold on.
And then, of course, your hand would slip off, and your knuckles would grind into the cup.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Solid pick. Thank you very much.
A little before my time, but strong nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. Let's also go to Jack on line two. Toy Hall of Fame nominee. What should it be?
I'm a big board game guy.
Okay.
So it would be Battleship and Sorry.
Oh, strong. Yeah. Strong picks.
Battleship for me more so than Sorry, but Sorry was... Did Sorry have the popper in the middle of the board?
Yep.
Yeah, you didn't roll the dice. You pushed the little popper down.
Like Boggle? Didn't Boggle have that also?
I think Boggle had something like that.
You want to talk about a board game Hall of Fame? I recently just became Mudge's favorite person on Earth by getting her Mall Madness for her birthday. And she screamed. I'm telling you, I've never knocked it out of the park harder than when I got her Mall Madness. Fireball Island and Torpedo Run. Those two belong in there. Remember Torpedo Run on the ground? And you'd have that little submarine. You fire the discs and try and land them right in the slot of that battleship.
You want to stay on board? Oh, no. Sorry, didn't have the popper. I think I was thinking of Boggle. Staying on the board game tip here just for a second. We're talking Toy Hall of Fame, toys that we feel were monumentous. Join the conversation, 410-338-1098. Board game, which was mostly set up with very little payoff. Mousetrap.
Mousetrap. Oh, Mousetrap sucked. Yeah. But it was great.
So good.
It was when you set the thing up, you didn't want to touch
about.
It.
No, yeah.
You're like, I spent 45 minutes
putting this thing
together.
I don't even know what the game was about.
No.
Was there even a game involved? All it was setting the thing up and then setting it off.
Yes.
I may go buy Mousetrap tonight.
Get some Mousetrap. I still have in my car Crossfire. I bought Crossfire on my last day at Toys R Us. I bought Crossfire. Let's go to Mark on line one, who's been holding. Mark, good morning.
Hey there, tough guy.
Mark, welcome back. I owe you an apology. We missed you. I'm sorry.
I missed you, guys.
Missed you, buddy.
I missed you, Jesse.
I miss you, buddy. Welcome back. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, did you ever play Battleship?
Oh, yeah. Talking Battleship, Mark?
Yeah. No, I just remember you could cheat like crazy.
Oh, yeah. You could just lie.
Yeah, it'd be like a direct hit, and he couldn't see your ship, and you just go, that missed, and you just move it over, and the game would go forever.
That sounds like something you would do, you loser.
Mark, you scallywag.
I love you. I miss you.
Love hearing
Why did you not call him for a while? Were you mad at Justin because when he went off on you?
No, just my job. The reception's really crappy in the building. And I listen every day. It's just hard to make calls
out. Hey there, Pat.
Yeah, tough guy.
My mom was asking about you.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, Miss Rita.
I love you, man.
I'm going to smash them buns, buddy.
Hey.
All right.
Yeah, he's back.
Some texts, some classics. The Green Army Men.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Green Men versus Tan Men.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah. And you got the guy with the M60. Get some.
Another classic. It deserves to be in the conversation. Lincoln Logs.
Lincoln Logs, I think, might have made the cut. Lincoln Logs, actually part of the first induction year, along with marbles, Play-Doh, and the teddy bear.
Big Wheels.
Big Wheels made it in the year of 2008 alongside the ball.
Well, the ball needs to be in there. And in that genre, Nerf football.
Nerf football.
Nothing like a good Nerf football.
Remember when they added the tail to the Nerf football?
Yeah.
It had like the little rockets.
And they put a little whistle in it too, so it'll go.
Yeah, every kid thought they were Montana. Let's do another one here before we read some more of your texts. Let's talk to John, line four, Toy Hall of Fame.
Oh, this is fun.
It is.
Electric race car track, fellas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I hated them, though, because the cars always flew off the damn track. The technology was...
That's because you didn't go to the Hobby Lobby and buy tires you could put on them.
Oh, the Hobby
dude,
Lobby!
You were deep in the game. You were deep in the game. You're changing, swapping out the tires.
That's a badass.
I wonder what the technology now that exists for electronic race car tracks.
I've seen them.
Mine had, you had the little trigger, and all you did was squeeze the trigger, but if you went too fast around the turns, it would always fly
and
off.
Just land on the coffee table. It's almost the exact same. It looks like a hot glue gun. Same thing with the wire that goes to it, but now they have these little guide pegs so that hold him in place.
They stay a little better?
Yeah, at this point. This generation will never have to know what it's like to use a little restraint when you take the corners so the damn thing doesn't fly into mom's curio cabinet as it makes line, makes, you know, turn four. Oh, it's pretty great. Hey, continue to check in at JSS98.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So let's get behind the curtain on something we did on Thursday. If you watch WBAL TV 11, probably sooner rather than later, I hope, you're going to see a little 10-second promo for the show. That's just all of us standing side by side. And Rick's not allowed to be a part of him anymore. He can't be in the room for this stuff
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, Mike, you
he
missed this
He can't be
also.
In the room anymore.
Yeah, what happened?
There's just like an energy that like emanates from him where it's like, and look, this is not meant to sound egotistical. This is not meant to sound anything. And Justin, you've helped me a lot down this road.
You're welcome.
But you're very good in front of the camera and you know, you can think of the edits in your head and you're just comfortable. You've filmed stuff for years. And subsequently, over the last 5 years, becoming a host and having to be in front of the camera more and shoot videos and shoot whatever the hell we're shooting.
We're in an era of much more video than at any point in your radio careers. Have you ever stood in front of a camera more than you have in the past 5 years?
And so we're setting up for this thing. And at no point during the setup of this thing was I at all nervous. I was just more, you know, getting focused, thinking about things I might say or, you know, how can we make this funny and what's it going to look like? And you've helped with that. So when I stand with you and Josh and we're standing there and we're doing something like this, I am very confident at this point that the end product is going to be good because I admire you guys and you're professionals, you're funny. We've all gotten to this point where I don't want to say,
we know what we're doing.
Yes.
We know what we're doing. And Rick is sitting in the corner yesterday like some pissed off French art film director, gazing at us with this energy of stand there.
At one point, I think he just went, just effing relax.
We can't relax if you tell me to relax.
He screamed at us to just effing relax. And I looked at him. I'm like, dude, if you're going to be weird, I'm going to ask you to leave.
I'm
like, seriously, you can just leave because we don't need you here. And you know what he did? He thought about it and he got up and he left.
He left. It was great.
And it was fine.
He didn't Scott wasn't joking for a moment. He looked at him, no blinking, and goes, you can leave. I'm serious. You can leave. And Rick jackboots out of the studio.
No, it needed to be.
It was great.
Did someone not need to say that
Absolutely
to him?
Absolutely.
It was like, dude, just please leave. And you know who I love, like who's in there because he's super chill. He's my, my
Sherpa,
my spiritual advisor. He's like our, he kind of keeps us, John Lauer, our digital czar.
Mm-hmm.
He's so just chill and calm and cool and able to like, maybe like, hey, why don't you float ideas out there and it becomes creative and relaxing and easygoing. And we always get to the end. And when we leave, we go, you know what? There's something to work with there. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Justine, by the way, afterwards, I talked to her in her little cubicle area. She shoots the videos. Justine is our videographer around here. And she said, oh man, I got enough to make four of these things. These are going to be great. If I find out that he doesn't use that footage because he says he allegedly has some quote unquote plan B to make these 10-second promos with, I'm going to be hot because I feel like it's going to be because we kicked him out of the studio. But hear about it coming up. We got prepared to do a little bit of a TV promo shoot yesterday. What were we going to say? What were we wearing? Why were we doing it? Coming up on Behind the Curtain.
Oh, boys. Looking good this morning. Josh, you got yourself a nice looking polo. Beard trimmed. Scott, very nice button up. Hair looking good. I look like a GameStop employee that won't stop following you around asking you if you'd like to pre-order the new COD, even though there will be millions of copies available at that big blue store next door. And you say to yourself, why are those boys decided to sex it up this morning? We're doing a TV shoot at the end of the show.
Dropped on us
like a bomb.
Pretty abruptly yesterday. Because Speaks was out, what, couple Monday, Tuesday this week?
Yeah, that's right.
And after then Rosh you saw the email and you're like, was this talked about when I was gone? And we're like, nope. We're seeing it when you're seeing it.
Yeah, we're finding out when you are.
And it was like, so I guess we're filming a 10-second commercial, which will air on WBAL TV 11.
Yeah, the home, Lowell Melzer.
I don't know much more than that. We were told to just dress nicely and look presentable. I shaved my neck.
I can tell. Good line.
We didn't shave the rest of it because I was too lazy. So I said, I'll just shave neck, clean up my mustache a little. And my beard. Speaks, you look good. You got the shirt tucked in. You're looking svelte, dude.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying. I'm also just, I'm not wearing a bra.
Yeah, he took his bra. He's just letting them
braless
mammaries fly.
Yeah, and I might open an extra button to my shirt.
Well,
once the cameras start running.
Dolly, I shaved my cheeks, but not my neck. So, yeah, I definitely look like I play Warhammer. And I guess they're going to come in and they're going to film a little promo for us. And I need to reiterate this, too. I love it when you, the friend of the show, do this when you go to like a Ravens game, for example, and you see our pictures and name upon that ribbon screen. Our ego is a beast that needs fed daily. Fresh meat. If you see this promo play, we love it when you record it and then like add us at JSS98Rock. On Instagram, on Twitter, use us on Facebook, kind of spread the word a little bit. I'm not sure when it's going to air. I think soon. I heard the turnaround on this thing's going to be quick.
And I meant to ask Keith before he left.
We borrow some makeup.
And it's funny you say that because I was sitting on the couch yesterday. I was thinking about who I could text in the office that we can enlist to help us maybe put on some makeup before this effing thing. Because, look, There's a thing called camera ready in the business.
I'm not.
And when you're not camera ready, you shouldn't be in front of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to doing these radio things,
yeah, blush.
I'm serious.
When it comes to doing these TV things,
whoa.
And we're on radio, all they do is just throw us in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And we're never camera ready.
Hey guys, I'm Justin. This is Scott Spiegel, and we're on fire.
I have makeup in my bag.
Do you brought makeup?
Yeah, because
you're smart.
Thank you. Well, I'm not really smart, but I just what you said, you know, you never know around here, so I figured.
But they don't ever afford us that luxury. Right. They just go, oh, you're shooting a 10-second thing after the show. Okay.
All right.
Well, how about we have somebody here that could touch us up a little.
Yeah.
Did you already
You don't see anyone that Millsy puts on makeup every morning before he goes on camera.
Theater makeup.
I put a little bit on.
I can see it on your forehead.
Can you see it?
It looks good, though. Oh, it's not like you're wearing makeup. It just looks a nice bronze.
I need
it's
to cover.
Even.
Do
it's
you
not
want
shiny.
Some?
Yes.
I'm gonna go back and ask one of the girls to come in and help us.
Oh.
Yeah. Who do we trust back there?
I know who I have a person.
I know who I'll ask. I have butterfly rosacea, straight up. I got red crap right here on the side of my nose that I regularly put eczema goop on to try and cover up. But then when I get angry or drunk, it shows up, and I'm both right now. So, yeah, I'm going to get someone to do that.
And I just wanted to ask Millsy before he left. I forgot to. Maybe just a couple of pointers.
Because
that's the other thing. I mean, there's colors you should wear, colors you shouldn't wear.
I think the first
ways
thing.
Ways you should stand.
Oh, yeah. How do we?
A posture. You know, when they do that. The TV news thing where they do that thing where they like turn to the camera. They do the camera turn. Like, how do you execute one of those things?
And good morning. We're Justin Scott and Spiegel, and we're excited to have you join us each morning from 5 to 10. I'm going to be like Ricky Bobby from Talladega Nights. Like, I'm not going to know what to do with my hands. My hands are going to, I'm like, do I keep them up here?
Right, exactly.
Or do I have them by my side?
I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't know what to do with my hands. I also have to, and this is so embarrassing. Now that I've said this, you're going to go back, look at every photo, and be like, oh my God, he does. I have a lazy eye. It's so barely noticeable, but now that I point it out when I smile, let's get a look at that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That
one. That's one right here.
I see it.
It sucks, right?
I noticed it.
Let me see. Which, the left?
The left.
Uh-huh.
Our right, his left.
I have a lazy eye.
It goes, it looks towards the weekend a little bit.
Yep.
One eye looking towards the weekend.
It's on the future.
Oh, okay.
A little bit.
I wouldn't have noticed it.
No, but welcome now.
I did.
Yeah,
okay.
I look at it every photo now. Whenever anyone's like, why do you always take those stupid photos? You're grabbing faces. You're pointing your ass at the camera. It's a defense mechanism.
Because
I've got the wonky eye looking like Shawn Michaels after taking too many of his own super kicks to the face. So I have to like tell myself, close eyes, open them brightly,
and look, smile, and make sure your eyes are open the same width. Otherwise, you're going to look like Sloth from the Goonies. So, yeah, coming up after the show, if you're on Livewire for a little bit before they flip the cameras off, we're going to be shooting ourselves a promo. When you see it on WBAL TV 11, send us a copy.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Had a conversation on Thursday that, you know, the way we arrange topics sometimes, you want to get behind the curtain here, is stuff that we really feel is like got some meat on the bones, big talk topics, whatever's trending. We kind of put in different hours and we think more of you might be listening. If you got a really brutally early commute, which a lot of you do, more and more people do, we might might move something early that's a little silly, a little fun, a little irreverent maybe. And we did something on Thursday about essentially the disrespect of dads in media and commercials. That I put at 5:30 thinking, might move the needle a little bit. Blew up.
Well, I was running late.
Most calls and texts I received that early.
I was running late the other day. My alarm malfunctioned. Doesn't happen often.
It's not his fault. Power outage.
So I was on the road later than I normally am. I guess I was on the road at around 5:30.
Yeah.
And we're normally here by 5. And you'd be amazed at the amount of cars that are on the road at that time of day.
Dude, the workday is earlier and earlier and earlier. Hell, I'll even pull back the curtain even farther. Don't be surprised if you hear your boy cracking the mic earlier in the next year or two. I mean, we always run some great stuff from, you know, other moments of the show and days prior, really super early on. You should definitely listen as early as possible. You get some gems early on in the morning. And we did in this segment you'll hear coming up, where we talked about the portrayal of dads. You're a dad. I'm a dad. Other dads checked in. Women checked in, too, that agreed, too. It wasn't men are under attack. No, it's not that. It's a concept of the father just looking like a total doofus and the kids growing up not respecting them because they've been essentially told by every video game, television show, movie, and commercial that dad's the dumbass. And I feel that kind of hurts the family structure and removes an air of respect that I think our buddy Drew Irvin, he's a good guy. He's always got good insight on stuff, that he said that even when he was younger, he would see stuff like this depicted in television shows and what have you. But you always knew not to disrespect your dad. And I don't know if his generation knows that.
Like I said, I mean, kids seeing it on TV is one thing, but then when they try to implement what they're seeing on TV or treat you the way TV dads are being treated, then it's on the parents to put a quick stop to that.
Well, who knows? Maybe we'll follow up with it in the days to come, because it's seriously kicked off a nerve early in the day. We talked about the portrayal of dads to kids on programs on Behind the Curtain.
We need to get into something early here. 410-338-1098. 410-338-1098. Please join in the conversation. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Justin was watching some television yesterday.
With the Litlins. The little ones.
Yeah. And noticed something.
I did. And I wanted to talk to you specifically about it. Because you know what? It occurred to me the other day. You might have been the first friend I ever had that was a dad. I was thinking about it, and I was like, okay, I got a bunch of friends. And who was the first that popped out a kid that I consider a close friend? And I think that was you. You might have been the first friend that I ever had. I was like, oh, man, this guy is moving into the next stage.
Next chapter.
The next iteration of his life, being a dad. And you leave the city, and there's billboards around. The proudest thing you could do is be a dad. Hey, guys, step up and be a dad. There's nothing like being a dad. Do your civic duty and take care of that kid and be a dad. There's literal advertisements just reminding men with children, hey, be a dad. So with that in my head, I'm watching TV with the kids the other day, and I'm watching a couple of their programs. What's the one? It's like Ricky, Nikki, Dickie, and Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one.
Heard of that.
It's a live, like, acted show. Then I flip over and I watch a little bit of Modern Family. We're all having a larf. And then we go to the Loud House. It's the Loud House. And
or watching that, and we're bouncing around. And I start to notice, I notice a threat, and it's a disturbing threat. And what triggered it was during one of the commercial breaks for one of these shows, was there's a woman, a mom, making breakfast for the kids, and it's a hectic household. Kids are rushing out the door. Soccer balls are flying. Baby's crying.
Now, this is a show or a commercial?
This is a commercial during the show, which made me look back at what I noticed in all of the shows I just mentioned. Is that while she's making breakfast and she's doing the thing and she's kind of addressing the camera first person, you know, each day as a mother, it's busier than the last as the children are getting up and getting out of the house to try and face the day. And I don't have a lot of time, so thank goodness for this Carnation Instant Breakfast because it allows me to get the nutrients into the kids that they need. Out of nowhere.
I actually know the commercial you're talking about, and I love it.
Dad just falls down the steps. Dad just wipes out down the stairs. Like, she's talking to the camera, and then here comes Roger, just ass over tea kettle down the stairs. And she just turns back to the camera like, that's my Roger. I'm like, Dad might have a broken back right now. Dad might have snapped his neck. He's on his way out the door. Literally had nothing to do with the breakfast stuff. Hell, Dad might have been the one that sprung for the breakfast stuff you're advertising. And it made me look back, and in all those shows, every single dad is an effing clown.
A buffoon, if you will.
A buffoon, a moron, a dimwit. And I'm wondering, in an era, 410-338-1098, feel free to call, feel free to text, where I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, where it seems like the child these days has a bit less and less respect for the parental unit, for adults in general, but particularly dad. And we were talking to Sam, she's our executive producer today, as Mike is on the road, and she agreed that it seems like the bit for going on 10 years now, and it just seems like it's more pronounced these days, maybe because I have kids and I'm watching kids programming more than I did years past.
Right. That's
I was not seeing this on my Deadliest Catched episodes or wrestling when I was watching that or rated R movies. I'm seeing this in kids programming where they're learning about the world. Dad is a full tilt f-ing idiot. He's a dimwit. Mom knows everything. Dad doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. He's a comedic. He's a heel. He's just a boob.
Well, just a couple of quick Google searches.
Mm-hmm.
On YouTube, there is a video. I mean, I won't play it. It's long, but it's called the quote-unquote Dumb Dad and the Domestic Commercials. So there's a whole montage of dumb dads during commercials. And then there's articles called Selling Stupid Men. Goodbye, big dumb dads. Hello, empowered domestic dudes. So maybe it's changing. And then it says men are becoming the target of gender sneer. That is from the New York Times.
And I get that we are now in an era where we are hopefully beginning to do right by women. Lord knows they deserve it. Equal playing fields, all of that. So I am all in, up with women. But I don't think that automatically needs to be, hey, let's hit this guy in the head with a mallet to make him just out to be an ass. Make mom out to be a hero. That's fine. I get that. To teach kids to respect and love and worship mom. I'm about that. But it's the making dad out to be an idiot. When I'm now being around kids and I'm getting to see their interactions with their own parents, I'm seeing 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds that will come over to my house and their dads will pick them up. The way that they're talking to them, brother, you and I talk to Ron or Terry when we're 8 or 9, there's going to be a handprint the size of a salad plate on our face or ass. And I gotta wonder if it's got something to do with this.
No, if you can blame that fully on TV, that you,
fully.
But you blame that on the parents. If your kid's talking to you a certain way and you allow that to continue, then that's on the parent.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you hit the kid, but you nip that in the bud quick.
I feel like
it emboldens
Stella
is 5
kid.
And there's already some tones starting to work into some of her voices that when I say Stella. And she goes, what? I go, you do not answer me like that.
You do not sass me, woman. You do not sass me.
But you just Google, TV dad buffoon and I mean, you're right.
It's all
it's
over
everywhere.
The place.
There's a million articles. There's a million examples. The Washington Times, The Atlantic. Dads on sitcoms. Working class father depicted as bumbling.
I mean, if you...
Incapable.
Who's the dad on Modern Family?
Yeah, that guy.
That guy. If
Buffoon.
If you told me he had some sort of neurological issue. I mean, he is quite literally in some episodes of that show made out to be like he got kicked in the head by livestock when he was 9 years old and now just can't function properly. Let's go to line three, flying blind. Line three, good morning. Who's this? Oh, line three, but dropped on us. Yeah, it's very weird. Tizzle, morning, straight Cali, checking in.
I mean, somebody's bringing up like Homer Simpson.
Oh, yeah, Homer's been a moron my entire life.
Yeah.
Al Bundy was more of a son of a bitch than a moron.
Good luck, Charlie, apparently, has a bumbling dad. One article says you have to remember who the audience is with a show like Good Luck Charlie. The kids are the main characters of the show, and good parents would get in the way of the interesting storylines based around the kids.
But I bet if you watch that show, and I'm sorry, I'm not familiar, so I'm just hypothesizing here. I bet you're not going to see a lot of instances of mom accidentally tying her shoelaces together, tripping and falling into the manhole or having the paint can fall on their head and, you know, donk them in the brain or whatever, or accidentally lighting their hair on fire while trying to cook. I see some of this stuff and I'm like, okay, I get it. Comedic foils, I'm all about it. It's not a thing that I'm like offended by, right, by any stretch of the imagination. But it was so pervasive across so many different shows yesterday that, like you said, it is a parent's job at the end of the day to be like, this is entertainment, this is not real life. Do not pretend that this is the way to be. But you can't blame a kid for having their jumping off point when they get done with a couple hours of TV or whatever else, thinking, well, dad's just the one to pin, right, the kick me sign to.
Mom's the real parent. Yeah. Dad's just that idiot.
Yeah, mom I'll listen to. But I feel like the two-parent house is essential to doing well.
Seems to me that the dad has been a second-class parent for a long time, and it's not just how they're portrayed on TV. If dad is watching a child, they're babysitting, not parenting. Fathers need to start being treated as equal parents all around.
Yeah.
Scott's pretty good at it, and I'm kind of learning as I go, and sometimes from his example.
On most of the shows my daughter watches, the dad is a complete moron.
Ralph Cramden says Kyle D. Thompson, fatty idiot husband all the way back. Let's go to, hopefully I'm saying it right. We got Levi, line one.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, kids these days are learning a lot of bad behavior from shows like this. And I mean, while it is on the parent, you can't always control your child. You know what I mean?
It's
just when we start talking like this, I feel like we're sounding old, like...
Well,
that TV is corrupting our kids.
It's more just like,
why you got to do that? Why do we got to be portrayed as the idiots?
Yeah.
I don't want to start saying, like, it's corrupting our kids, and our kids are misbehaving, and our dads get no respect now because of that damn talking picture box. I just feel like we sound old. It's just I don't understand. It's more like... Who okays this, and how did this happen, and why?
It's almost hacky at this point. It's becoming so much, and I feel like it might be making our jobs out to be harder than it already is, because it's hard to be a mom, it's hard to be a dad, and much less today when your kid is drawn in 5,000 different directions with 5 million different screens and entertainment outlets that we didn't have. But I feel like people in these positions that are doing this stuff, it's just making it even harder. And not to say we can't be the comedic foil. Have my stupid ass fall down a manhole or bump my head on something or light my head on fire. But not every single scene.
Home Improvement with what's-his-face. He was the main character, and he was a complete buffoon.
Yeah. Tim Allen.
That was a great show, though.
I even feel like mom, because I remember we actually watched Home Improvement. They kind of spread it out.
Just trying to think of good dads, and the one that keeps popping up is Full House. Saget on Full House.
Oh, my God. Danny Tanner was
the
man.
But he had the foils that were the uncles. They were the idiots.
They were dumb, and he even had his quirks. I mean, essentially, he was OCD. Like, he just could not stop cleaning the house at all times. It kind of spread it out pretty good. Is to where I don't know why it was that breakfast commercial that I was like, why did dad have to fall down the stairs quite
yeah, right?
possibly.
How do you pitch that commercial? So here's the commercial.
All right, what do you think?
Mom's going to be talking to the camera.
Okay.
She's going to break the fourth wall.
Okay.
She's going to be talking about how much she loves Carnation Instant Breakfast.
Love it.
She's going to talk about all the vitamins and minerals.
Uh-huh.
About how it's quick and easy and how she's able to get her kids
off
to school.
That's what we're going for.
In a quick, easy fashion.
Fantastic.
They're fed. They have a full stomach. They've got their nutrition.
Write this down.
And then, wait for it.
Okay, okay.
Dad falls down the stairs.
Genius. I love it. That's genius. Amazing. That is amazing.
I love it. Get writing on that now. That dad.
And I'm yeah, like, right,
why? Why? What did that have to do
with it? Do you have a storyboard of that? I want to see that. I love that. I love the dad down the steps. That's a good angle.
I want to get one of the fathers from the Mission Impossible stuntmen crew because those guys are incredible. Those guys are falling down steps left and right.
Let me throw this out there. Is there any way we could have maybe the dad at the end of it blow himself up?
Absolutely.
That'd be hilarious.
Each morning when I make myself some chips.
Oh, there goes dad. Oh, dad again.
Oh, look, there's a burning limb in the front yard.
Harold, did you blow yourself up again?
Harold! Oh, Harold. Like, now you got a generation of kids that are like, oh, I can't wait for my dad to accidentally step on the landmine in the middle of the snack cracker commercial and just blow his limbs clean off. It's like, God, man, I mean, give me a break now and then. Because it seems to be all the freaking time. Let's go to take a couple of calls and we'll jump. Tyler, line two, good morning.
Hey, calling in from Austin, Texas. How you guys doing?
Shout out! What's up in Austin, dude?
Hey, man, it's all good. Just hitting the road early this morning. Figured I'd call in my favorite radio show.
Oh, my God.
Love it.
Are you trying to make me fall in love with you?
Hey, Texas is a great place. Y'all are more than invited.
Mm. Are you living down there now in Austin, or are you visiting?
Yeah, I've been living down here for almost exactly a year now.
There you go, buddy. Well, thank you for taking this with you.
Yeah, what's your comment?
Just calling in with a prime example of this just buffoon TV dad. If you remember Bryan Cranston on Malcolm in the Middle.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That one also just kind of paves the way for
100%.
You know, people like who you see on Modern Family. It's just kind of the doofus dad, can't get anything right. Kids are always making fun of him, no respect. And it is something that's ingrained in TV for some reason.
And I will
And shout out to my buddy Rip in Westminster, Maryland.
Shout out, Rip. Great restaurant in Southern Maryland. Actually, that's the name of a good restaurant down there. In regards to Malcolm in the Middle, though, where I have to give it credit, Dad was a buffoon, but everybody on that family,
the whole show.
I mean, Mom and the kids and the grandparents, everyone was like a nice comedic foil. And they really spread it out nicely to where everybody sort of got their moment in the comedic sun to come across as silly. Let's do one more, and Josh will tell you what's coming up. Let's go to George in line three. George, good morning.
So I think that this has a lot to do with the societal patterns we have. If you know, like, dad jokes, people glorified dad jokes for a while. And I think it's also reciprocated in television shows. They have these dads being buffoons. And it might be that there is this want to be the funny dad. And unfortunately, the cause for that is to be a buffoon and look like an idiot.
You're almost like a walking embodiment of the dad joke.
Exactly. Well, thank you all for checking in. Good Lord, we might need to revisit this. I got some tweets and texts all popping up.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Man, Johnny Minidakis taking on PETA head on. And we got a tweet, and I'll see if I can read it to you. And I don't think sometimes people know the words that they're using. So here's what's going on. You'll hear in the break coming up, they took a shot at the crab industry, PETA. John fired back. They're about to fire back with a new billboard. But John, at the end, is taking the big W because his business is up like 30%. He's shipping crab cakes around the world. He says he has never been this busy in the history of his restaurant. It's blown up in PETA's face. You would think that this was not PETA's intended outcome, correct?
I don't know, because they've equally gotten just as much attention. Because, I mean, if John didn't engage, it would have just been a one-day story. Hey, they put up a billboard. This is weird. And we would have moved on. But
well, someone called it trolling. Like, they said, I can't remember the tweeter. He said, you do realize that PETA is just trolling you guys, right? But I thought that the purpose of a troll was a negative connotation. You're trying to bust someone down, bust balls, make them appear to be ignorant, screw with them. No one has ever tried to troll someone into financial opulence.
Well,
before.
I mean, I always thought the internet troll meant you tried to initiate an argument. And in that sense, I guess they did succeed in that. But I mean, yeah, it didn't really have the effect they wanted. Although I will say, it made me think about eating crabs for a minute.
Hell yeah, it did. I've been to Jimmy's twice since this whole thing blew up. And I mean, obviously, I love going to Jimmy's anyways, but it's put me in the mood to go to Jimmy's.
Well, no, I mean, I actually thought about like crabs as an individual, not just meat.
Oh, Justin. No, I wanted to just to hit one in the head with a tack hammer and just eat the damn thing raw.
No, yeah. I would be lying if I didn't say for a moment I thought about it. But like we've said on the air, out of all the animals, like cows, yeah, sometimes I do feel bad. And chickens, sometimes when I see a full chicken on my plate, I'm like, God, that was a living creature at one point. But a crab, like you said, they're like insects. I don't feel that bad about eating a crab.
It will 100% guaranteed try and pinch your finger and it's...
Yeah, if it were big enough, it would kill you in a second.
It would snap your neck clean off of your shoulders. Easy. It would just pinch it like one of those creatures from The Mist, Stephen King's horror film. It was a pretty good conversation. It's getting traction and his business is blowing up. John Minidakis joined us talking about the big PETA controversy on Behind the Curtain.
Oh, it's all, bitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it was... Maybe 2-3 weeks ago, Josh, you had done a story about PETA demanding that the animals in cages on boxes of animal crackers be set free to run wild in the cardboard jungle. And it was at that moment that if you went to their Facebook page and you saw that story and all that, and you read the comments, diehard supporters were like, y'all might have lost the plot a little bit here with me. Think we're going to give our money to the SPCA and Barks. And yes, it got eyes on them, but everyone was thinking, you've got a bit of a reputation for being crazy, and now you're kind of proving it to us. And then they just double down on the bananas less than a week later and try and take on an institution here in Baltimore. Jimmy's Famous Seafood. John Minidakis joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
They put the billboard up saying, "I'm not meat, I'm me." What the hell was it? It showed some crab tap dancing.
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, I feel like they were really feeling brave the week after they got the victory over Nabisco with the animal crackers. And they said, well, you know, where else can we get some over-the-top publicity and make people change their minds about something that they're steadfast in their ways? And they said, oh, look, you know, they eat crabs in Maryland. Let's go take down Maryland.
Flew a little close to the sun because little did they know that behind the scenes with social media and what have you, there's just like Wendy's level biting, roasting, cock lock and ready to rock to go back at them. And you go and put up your own billboard, just basically spitting it right back in your face. I hung out with you at the bar, not maybe a day or two before you put that billboard up. Give me some facts about what their billboard ended up doing for your business.
Oh, man. You know, first of all, I probably should thank PETA. Thank you, card. At the very least, maybe some roses, too.
Yeah.
Crab cakes for sure. But, you know, I think the entire state of Maryland really rallied behind Jimmy's because, you know, we were the only ones that did fight back.
Yeah, they put up the billboard that said, "I'm mean, not meat. See the individual go vegan." And then you put up your own billboard that said, steamed crab with the me in steamed capitalized. Steamed crabs here to stay. Get famous. Jimmy's Famous Seafood with a picture of a steamed crab. So you fired shots right back.
Yeah, I mean, I felt attacked.
Yeah.
Our entire industry. I mean, I know crabbers in Chrisfield, crab pickers all up and down the Eastern Shore that depend on crab meat. It's not a joke to them.
You know,
people thought it was funny at first, but look, you know, if you're trying to put crabbers and the crab industry out, you know, there's going to be tens of thousands of Marylanders that can't provide for their families. So, of course, you know, we were going to fire back because nobody else did. So
a lot of times people do just sort of acquiesce very quickly, like, no, don't come here and splash blood on our fur coat. And they give in. I mean, Nabisco just pulled their pants down to their ankles immediately and gave in when people were. I don't think anybody would have been mad at Nabisco and animal cracker sales would have gone down. But it wasn't just the billboard you put up. It was the social media roast where. You
went back and forth on Twitter, right, too?
Yeah, I mean, they just they didn't do their research because the funny thing is that everything that you're seeing on Twitter and social media these days, you guys know because you guys have seen Jimmy's grow up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our MO. You know, we punch back. We don't lay down for anybody. And, you know, we're not these, you know, corporate guys in suits. You know, we're Baltimore through and through. And if you're going to hit us, we're going to hit back.
And
you said that you went from 15,000 followers, which is nothing to sneeze at, then it goes to 40, then it goes to 60, then it jumps to 80, and then you, again, when I stop by your restaurant, you're like, we're getting orders from around the world, countries I've never even heard of. We're sending crab cakes to states that we've never shipped before, to where their campaign not only didn't work, it completely blew up in their face and businesses through the roof.
Justin, this past weekend, we had people coming in from Montana, Memphis,
Hawaii,
California. It's because of all the publicity that we've been getting for Punching Back, and they said it was such a breath of fresh air to see, you know, a small business hit back at PETA, and they just wanted to come and show support. On the way here, we had people from Scotland tweeting at the restaurant saying, we're planning a trip from Scotland to come eat there. I think, you know, the culture is definitely changing. People are just really throwing the PC stuff out the window.
And you were on one of the cable news networks. I suppose, was that Fox News?
Yeah, and, you know, I got a bone to pick with you guys. We were on Fox News, the Travel Channel, ESPN, Barstool.
Yeah.
But the only station I actually listened to, 98 Rock, took 2 weeks to invite me.
You Ravens, man.
I had a bumper sticker on my Bronco for 5 years, and I can't get invited in the studio?
We're up to here with Ravens coverage, man. We're
scared of PETA.
Yeah, we're terrified of them. I'm going to get blood.
Is any part of you scared? I mean, I don't know what you would be scared of, but throughout this whole process, before you put the billboard up, before all the Twitter wars, did you or maybe anybody in the Jimmy's Famous camp go, maybe we don't want to do this?
These guys are kind of known for some extreme
responses.
Or
was it always just, you know?
No, you know what's scary, man? Not being able to open your doors the next morning. So when somebody's coming after your livelihood,
yeah,
that's the only thing that's scary. So, no, I wasn't scared one bit. We're still not scared.
Hell,
you know, Tony's not scared. Kenny's not scared. Garrett's not scared. Now, None of us are scared.
We're talking to John Madadakis. It's Jimmy's Famous Seafood out there, Hollabird Avenue in Dundalk, taking on PETA, who's trying to put some billboards up around the city about steamed crabs. And then I think I saw something on social media where you said you went to the PETA headquarters in Baltimore or something, or the offices?
Norfolk.
Oh, it is Norfolk. Yeah, okay, that's what I was going to ask.
3-hour drive, so.
So the closest PETA office is in Norfolk.
Yeah, it's actually their only shelter in the entire country, believe it or
really?
Not. So all, you know, the millions of dollars they raise, they have one shelter. And that one shelter, by the way, kills over 70% of the animals it brings in.
So what is it down there? It's a PETA? It's a shelter? Is it an office?
It's an office / shelter. We sent some representatives down there to have a word.
Yeah.
And what happened?
You dug that dirt up on them, too, that right when they're like, hey, stop killing these tasty crabs, you spin the camera back on them and say, oh, how about the tens of thousands of animals you've offed?
Yep. So, you know, I think they started responding to us at first, and then when we started digging out the facts from third-party sources, Huffington Post, you know, Fox, everywhere, they were like, okay, these guys know their stuff. Let's stop responding to them and just go away. So they stopped answering Jimmy's through social media.
Mm-hmm.
So now they just went to the back channels of trying to be cute and throw up another billboard and just keep digging into
that. So they have a second billboard coming up, right? So they have one that's on its way, and then you have a response.
Yeah, what's going to happen next?
Loaded and ready to go?
Look, guys, you know, we got the entire state of Maryland behind us.
Hell yeah.
We're not backing down anytime soon. So if they want to keep throwing up billboards, we'll do it as well until they pack their bags and get out of our state.
Hell yeah. Mike Anderson.
Well, I'm wondering, John, have you thought about having even more fun with this and maybe making a special vegan crab cake? In honor of PETA?
No.
And that's that.
Crab cakes, steaks, chicken, ribs.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where you got your lovely lady there, by the way.
Oh,
shout out
God.
To your lady.
Smoke.
The pictures from Greece were amazing. Both of you, just Adonis.
I got mad at the pictures.
But you're sitting there cutting into a steak. What you eating for dinner there, John?
Nice savory ribeye. Look at, I can hear it move.
As rare steak. As I can get it. The thing walked over by my table on its own.
Oh, did you see the post that went viral with the Greek salad?
No.
We said, oh, we have vegan options as well. I think Mike's got it pulled up over there.
Is that it right there?
That's and
somebody,
Greek salad.
Somebody totally missed the joke.
Hell yeah. Like,
that's not vegan.
Yeah, we know. It's covered in delicious cheese and ham. And
then the response from Jimmy's was, yeah, we really don't care.
Yeah, we don't care. Dude, the apology video that you did after it started getting very, very heavy, when you were like, listen, for a while now, we have been saying some things online.
and we have tweeted some things that are controversial, and we would just like to say that anybody over the past few weeks that has been offended by what we have said, we apologize for absolutely nothing. And people went nuts for that, too.
Now, you know, the apology went over great,
yeah.
I mean, internationally, but it was a little disappointing. Not many people picked up on the fact that we copied that word for word from Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor.
Like, hello. Like, it's obviously paying homage to the king.
Yeah, yeah.
Show a little love. Have the guy, you know, maybe tweet at Jimmy's a little bit.
Well, dude, it's been an absolute...
Yeah, we'll see how this the story continues to unfold.
Exactly, well, I can tell you how it ends.
Oh.
Oh, please.
Maryland 1, PETA 0.
All right,
now I'm going to just absolutely...
My pants are getting tight over here.
Yeah, yeah, he makes my belt buckle area tight. All right, Jimmy's Famous Seafood, Hollabird Avenue. The guy feeds the WWE. The guy does all kinds of great work. I think we're going to be doing something for Toys for Tots coming up in November, I believe.
December 21st.
December 21st. Very, very cool. John, thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks, guys.